If you had turned with me to Psalms 33 for the reading of the scripture. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded it, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of men. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the scripture.
Amen. It's indeed an honor to come and be with you all this morning and be a part of this very special occasion for the ministry of Whitneyville Bible Church. I'd like to lead us in prayer to begin with, and then want to share a few remarks relative to IMISOS's part in the ministry here. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence with thanksgiving this morning. We thank you especially, Lord, for the way you have led this congregation in these past few months. We praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for the many expressions of your goodness and your grace. And Father, we pray your special blessing upon the ministry as we look ahead and forward with this congregation's joining in hand now with a new pastor. We rejoice with them. We covet, Lord, your richest blessing upon the ministry here, upon each individual, upon the outreach and the effect upon this community. We ask, Father, that you'll give wisdom to the leadership, give discernment and direction, and grant your will in the days ahead. We just ask your continued grace to be upon them and directing each decision. And Father, we just ask again, too, that you will give discerning understanding to the ministry and the days to come. And so, Father, we praise you today. We thank you with gratitude, and for the opportunities that this congregation has to move forward. We just commit them to your keeping grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the last many years, IMISOS has had a relationship with Whitneyville in many ways. I think back of a few years ago when we came and we were involved in a few meetings to bring about some reconciliation, some mediation. And then a pastor came and then you needed another interim pastor from us. And Brother Neil Armstrong fit that ministry and was here as your interim pastor. And then you stole him from us because you wanted him to become your pastor. And so Neil became your pastor for a few years. And then Neil was led to take a ministry elsewhere. And once again, IMISOS became involved with you. And more recently then, Brother Ernie Fiebig served with you. And then following that, Brother Chuck was able to come and assist you as well in these last few weeks and months. So it's been a joy. Interim Ministries, for some of you that may not be that familiar with us, we've been in the ministry now of interim work for 22 years. And God has blessed, I was sharing this with someone not too long ago, that over these 22 years, we've had the opportunity to serve over 1,200 churches throughout the country. And that's a rather startling statistic in my thinking, because I just didn't imagine that we would ever do that kind of volume. But God has blessed, and we've seen many churches that were ready to close their doors, keep them open. And so the interim role is vital today. And you've been the recipients of that, and we've been the blessed benedictions of your goodness to us in having us a part of the ministry here. And we thank the Lord that we've been able to be instrumental in helping the church at this point now to welcome a new pastor, and we're excited for you. That's the purpose of an interim ministry, is to work ourselves out of a job. And so we've done that now again, and we just covet God's richest blessing upon you all as you look forward to the days ahead. So God bless you, Brother Dietz, as you move into the ministry here. You've already moved in, but as you go forward, and we trust the congregation will just really give you wonderful encouragement and support. God bless you all.
Thank you. I was Ron Workman, in case you weren't familiar with him. As we age, when someone walks out the room and walk back in, we meet new friends. But it's kind of the way it goes. I would invite the other gentlemen who are going to be coming here after me to just introduce themselves and share who they are. So I know who they are, but anyway, good morning. My name is Ed Costers. I am the former... Excuse me, I have to get closer. I am the former chairman of the search committee. I relish that title with the word former on there. It is my privilege this morning on behalf of Whitneyville Bible Church to induce you to Pastor Dietz, please stand. His wife Kimberly, who's going to have to get Andrew and Rebecca off her lap. Caleb, Andrew, and Rebecca, join with me in welcoming here to Whitneyville Bible Church. Thank you.
If you have your Bibles, please turn to Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. My name is Dr. Joel Tetro. I am the senior pastor of Southeast Valley Baptist Church in Gilbert, Arizona. I also serve as the Western coordinator for a ministry called IBL, and our region is IBL West. It's a thrill to be here. I know and love Dave and Kimberly. appreciate his ministry, and we're excited to be here. I am also the nephew of Mary Lou Steiner, which is to say, that I am the son of one of her brothers, and so it's a thrill to be here. We love you in the Lord, and we're praying that we'll be a blessing to you and to David today. Today's a big day, and we're just so very excited. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it's my job to bring a challenge to the pastor, and so I am going to do that. I have to say, whoever came up with the order of service, pretty gutsy putting two pastors back to back, telling them to only preach 20 minutes apiece. That's pretty, that was pretty brave of you, and you know, a step of faith on your part, and good luck with that, by the way. And so, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this morning we come to a passage that deals with the work of God. David, I want to encourage you. You are God's work, and you are in God's hands as you lead God's flock here at Whitneyville Bible Church. And all of you, David, you're a work of God, and your family is a work of God, and this is a work of God. And a lot of times, as a new church and a new pastor come together, there's a sense in which, wow, we've got to get this right. There's a lot of pressure. And in one sense, we want to be responsible. But in another sense, God is the God of His vineyard. The Lord is the Lord of His church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Do we believe that He'll fulfill that? Yeah, we do. And so in one sense, it's not up to us. I mean, in one sense, we need to be responsible. But in another sense, it very much is up to God as He works and as He wills. And so that's very important. Matter of fact, I'd like for us to start off. And I know that I have one foot in the independent Baptist church world. I have one foot in the independent Bible church world. And both of those worlds up here in the north, sometimes we can be, unfortunately, some of our churches can be part of what I call God's frozen chosen. And there's not a lot of enthusiasm. I've been encouraged. We've had enthusiasm this morning, and that's just been encouraging. And so I'm going to ask you to do something that we often don't do in our kinds of churches. I want you to talk in the service, in the sanctuary. I want you to look at your neighbor, and I want you to tell your neighbor, I am a work of God. Go ahead and do that right now. Okay? Now I want you to turn to your neighbor. Okay, no, not that much enthusiasm. Settle down. Okay. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you are a work of God. Go ahead and say that. Now the best news of all, now I want you to turn to your neighbor and say this, God isn't done yet. Go ahead and say that. All God's people said, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, for everything there is a season and a time, for every matter under heaven. Those of you who are from the Vietnam era, try not to break out in song as I read this passage. A time to be born, and for sake of time, I'm going to summarize the first eight verses here. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pick up, a time to kill, to heal, to break down, to build up, to weep, to laugh, to mourn, to dance, to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. Verse 6, a time to seek, to loose, to keep, to cast away, to tear, to sow, to keep silent, to speak, a time to love, hate, war, and a time for peace. Look at verse 9. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them that to be joyful and to do good as long as they live, also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in his toil. Verse 14, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that people fear before Him. Father, we thank You for this morning. We praise You for Your work. We thank You for David and Kimberly. We thank You for their faithfulness over the years. Father, we thank You for this assembly. We thank You for 50 years of ministry. Father, this is a part of the thumbprint of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, this is a clear description, a clear example that the power of the gospel goes forth and the gates of hell do not prevail against it. Father, I pray You would meet with us. Father, we thank You that You inhabit the praises of Your people. We thank You that we stand not in the merits of our own, but Father, we thank You that we're draped in the righteousness of Jesus. And because of that, there is now therefore no condemnation for we who are in Christ. Father, we're encouraged by that. Lord, we would be lost without it. And Father, I pray that you'd meet with us, bless us, give us grace today, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So David, as we read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we see that this is God's work. And as I preach to David, the rest of you may listen. And so, David, this is God's work. I would remind Whitneyville Bible Church, this is God's work. And it's good to be in God's work. Now, while it's good to be in God's work, there will be days of challenge. There will be moments of terror. There will be seasons of confusion. There are going to be times when it's just frankly tough to do your job. I remember hearing the story. Howard Hendrickson talked about a businessman. This is back in the day when business travel was done primarily by train. And there was an occasion when a businessman got on a train in Philadelphia and was making his way to Pittsburgh, and that train was going to continue service on to Cincinnati, and the train was going to pull into Pittsburgh in the middle of the night. He was a heavy sleeper. He was concerned about that, and so he found the porter, and he said, "Young man, we're going to get into the middle of the night. The train's going to stop in Pittsburgh, and I'm going to be heavily asleep. You got to make sure I get off the train in Pittsburgh. I do not want to wake up in the morning in Cincinnati." And the porter said, "Sir, I promise we'll make sure that you get off the train." And so the businessman was relieved and gave the young porter a handsome tip. Well, you guessed it. The next morning he woke up in Cincinnati. And he was not happy. And he sought out that young man. He found that porter and he reamed him out. He told him what a loser he was and what a losing operation this was. And he picked up his... And the whole time the businessman is chewing out this porter is white as a sheet and he says nothing. And his friend looks at that and says, "But why doesn't he defend himself?" The businessman takes his bags, gets off, takes a train to go back to Pittsburgh. Well, after all that, the young friend went to the porter, who's still white as a sheet, and said, "Wow, I don't know that I've seen anybody as rude and as upset as that guy." The porter said, "If you think that guy was hot, you should have seen the guy we threw off at Pittsburgh last night." David, there are going to be days like that in the pastorate. There are going to be times when you're going to scratch your head and say, "How did that happen?" As we come to this passage in Ecclesiastes, we're reading a passage, of course, Ecclesiastes, a little background. Ecclesiastes comes from the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. Literally, the word Ecclesiastes means the preacher, a literal rendition. For those of you that like Hebrew, is Kohelet. This book would be typically read during the Feast of Pentecost. As you read the book of Ecclesiastes, there is a theme, and the primary theological theme is vanity. And as we come to this passage, the point of the book is simply that life lived for any other purpose than God's glory is empty. It's vain. And as we come to chapter 3, in one sense, the theological setting of the book has already been set. Solomon makes it clear that if you think that the purpose of living life is seeking pleasure, you're going to find out that that's empty. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Solomon continues to set the theme, and after making it clear that if you think that the purpose of life is found in pleasure seeking, he moves on in verses chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. If you think that the purpose of life is wrapped up in the pursuit of what we call human wisdom or academic achievement between wisdom and folly, that also is vain apart from God. And then a little bit later in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, if you think the purpose of life is found in the pursuit of justice, and Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he makes it clear, that's empty, that's vain. But as he comes here to chapter 3, he begins to spell out what it means to have an unvain, a purposeful understanding that we are God's work, and when we are functioning as God's work, there's going to be five characteristics, five truths are going to characterize your work and my work if we are God's work. And that's pretty clear in the text. So this morning as we reflect, David, that you're the work of God placed here to oversee God's work, filled of people who are God's people, and the church is the people, it's not the building. I think we see five characteristics of the work of God. And David, I think you'll experience this. I think you'll recognize this. Number one, and those of you that want to, you might just write this down on a piece of paper. I'm going to give you, as we look in this passage in the next 7 minutes, five. We're going to give you five truths about God and His work seen in this passage. Notice verses 1 through 8. He gives us all these different seasons. So number one, God and His work is seen in every phase of life. Five things that we see about God and His work. Look, we said earlier, you're a work of God, I'm a work of God, God's not done yet working. And so in this passage, there are five characteristics about God and His work. Number one, God and His work is seen in every phase of life. In every phase of life, it's part of God's work. Notice in this passage, there's a time to die, a time to live, a time to kill, a time to heal. I mean, every phase of life is part of God's work. This is a fun phase today. The beginning of a partnership, Pastor Dietz, Whitneyville Bible Church, the elders, the deacons, the congregation, teachers, workers, servants, all of us coming together. The beginning is often fun. But sometimes after a honeymoon, we get into the drudgery of the day-to-day challenges, and all of a sudden the beginning glows begin to wear off. We begin to be comfortable with each other, and maybe a few months later, a few years later, we're beginning to roll up our sleeves, and we find out that maybe one phase is not necessarily easier than another phase. But you know, that's true in parenting, right? We have three boys. I have a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 15-year-old. Do you remember the diaper phase? Do you remember that? I thought we were never going to get through that. I should have invested in Huggies as a thought. But I mean, I remember going through the beginning years. I mean, every time you come to a birthday party, it's not a birthday party. It's a celebration. We made it one more year with these kids. You know, I remember our middle son, Jeremy. We had first moved to Arizona. We had not found a house yet. And we hear this crash from one of the bedrooms. And we all run in there. And Jeremy is giggling. He's two. And he's in the middle of the bed with the glass bulb in his chest. In Arizona, we have fans. I don't know what those are. But anyway, in Arizona, we have fans in every room. And so Jeremy, he had gotten in this one room and began to bounce on the bed. And he got higher and higher. He was able to grab onto the little spinning thing. And he grabbed onto the bowl. And he was saying, "Wee!" And then all of a sudden, in the middle of this thing crashed. And I looked at him and I thought, why do I have children? Why do I have these people that are here? And we had three of them. And he's two. And I've got to do this for another 16 years. This is not fair. And so if we could just get to the next stage. And then they go to elementary. Don't let me even talk about junior high. Okay, and then eventually they go to college, and then they leave, but they don't leave. They come back, and they bring more people with them. Why? So God and His work is seen in every phase. Hey, listen, here's the deal. There are challenges and blessings in every phase of life. That's true in our personal life. That's also true in the phase of the church. Here's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be grateful for all of it now. God wants us to say thank you. Thank you for the blessings of the moment. Thank you for the blessings of the day. Thank you for the blessings in this phase. Number one, God and His work is seen in every phase. David, number two, God and His work is for all of us. Look at verse 9 and 10. What gain has the worker from his toil? Verse 10, I have seen the business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. This is given not just to David, to all of us. Listen, God and His work is for all of us. There's a point of this work. There's a point of the mission that's for all of us. People say, well, I don't know why I'm living. I don't know why I'm here. I really don't have anything to do. Are you still breathing? Do you still have life? If you're still breathing and you still have life, there's a purpose for you to be here. You have a mission. And I know that because Scripture makes it clear when you've accomplished the reason why you're here, they put you in a box and you get to go to heaven. But until then, that's the sweet by and by. In the nasty now and now, God wants us to serve Him. So the question is not, am I going to serve Him? The question is, how am I going to serve Him? And so number two, God and His work is not only seen in every phase of life, verse 1 through 8. Number two, it's God and His work is for all of us, verse 9 and 10. By the way, I don't mean to steal Les's thunder. My challenge to the congregation here is help your pastor out. Okay, he's a Baptist pastoring a Bible church. If that should tell you anything, that's alone. He's gonna have, he's got to detox a little bit on that. So you got to help him with that. So God and His work seen in every phase of life. Number two, God and His work is for all of us. Number three, look at verse 11, part A. God and His work is beautiful. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, He has made everything beautiful. Every phrase, every part of it, because it's the work of God. Man, I love the passage. He who has begun a good work in you will what? He'll complete it. He'll perform it. It's not to say that there aren't ugly parts, not to say there isn't failure, not to say there won't be hard parts, but because God is in it, it's beautiful. So God and His work is seen in every phase. Number two, it's for all of us. Number three, God and His work is beautiful. Number four, God and His work, notice the next little part, is never late. Look at verse 11. He has made everything beautiful. Notice the next three words. In its time. God and His work is seen in every phase. God and His work is for all of us. Number three, God and His work is beautiful. Number four, God and His work is never late. God's always on time. Is it just me, or do things creep up in your day timer that you didn't write down? Does that ever happen to you? Things happen. Okay, this was not what I had planned for the day. I mean, you get the unexpected bill. What is this? I thought we had insurance. By the way, you find out whether or not you have good insurance not before but afterwards when you need it. That's what I've discovered in life. I don't care all the sheets of paper you sign, all the little agreements. Okay, you get the unexpected medical bill, you get the unexpected this, the unexpected that, and you ask the question, why? Okay, what? How do we handle it? David, you're going to have this in ministry, my friend. And even though they're great people here at Whitneyville Bible Church, the lead pastor of Whitneyville, there are going to be days when things are going to pop up in your calendar, and you say, oh, I didn't write this in. This wasn't my idea. Okay. So you ask the question, why is it that God's timing is different than our timing? And this is a separate little sermon, and we don't have time to go there. I'm just going to give it to you, and we'll preach it some other time. There are four reasons why God's timing is different than ours. Number one, sometimes God's timing is different than ours because God has a predestined sovereign will. Ephesians 1:11, who has predetermined everything by the counsel of His will. Every jot and tittle, nothing ever catches God by surprise. He's never holding on to the banister of heaven with white knuckles saying, what do we do next? God never does that because He is sovereign. God's timing is different than ours because, number one, God has a sovereign will that covers it all. Number two, God's timing is different than ours because He allows Satan and evil-spirited armies to attack. We see it in the life of Job. It's going to happen to you and I. We have an enemy of the soul that hates us. He goes about like a roaring lion. And in Daniel chapter 10, we see Daniel prayed, and the answer comes, but the angel that brings it has to engage in a fist fight for 2 weeks in order before to get the answer to him. So sometimes our timing is bumbled because of God's sovereign will. Number two, because of Satan, his fighting. Number three, sometimes God's timing, at least we think, is delayed because of a lesson that God wants to teach us. Do you remember Genesis 22? Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain. Isaac said, where is the sacrifice? He says, don't worry, God will provide a lamb. Do you think that Abraham and Isaac ever forgot the lesson of God's provision? I don't think so. Sometimes God's timing is different than ours because of a lesson we need to learn. Lastly, God's timing is sometimes delayed because He has a better option than the choice before us. Genesis 24, Abraham sent his servant to find Isaac a wife. Okay. Yeah, God had a better choice than what Isaac had. God had a better plan than what Isaac knew. And at the end of that thing, the servant of Abraham said, "Being in the way of the Lord, the Lord led me." I love that. So back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're almost done. So we look at this passage in chapter 3. We see God and His work, number one, is seen in every phase. Number two, it's for all of us. Number three, God and His work is beautiful, every phase. Number four, God's never late. And number five, ultimately, look at the last part of verse 11. Ultimately, only God ultimately knows what He's doing. Only God knows the ins and outs of His plan completely. Look at the last part of verse 11. The last part of verse 11, also He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God does from beginning to the end. So God and His work is ultimately, clearly understood by God and God alone. By way of conclusion, and then we're done. How then should we self-govern? Because these things are true. Look at verse 12 through 14. Four things. Number one, rejoice. Number one, rejoice. Look at verse 12. I perceive that there's nothing better than for them than to be joyful. Rejoice. I love Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Does it bother you that some Christians' faces make good cover pages for the Lamentations? Does that ever bother you? It's like, how are you doing? They're perpetually miserable. What's up with that? I know that there are rough times, but rejoice. God's been good. Certainly God's done something. I know that there's trials. I know there's pain. But rejoice, because these things are true. Rejoice. Second part of verse 12, do good. Verse 12, rejoice. Number two, do good, and do good as long as you live. Number three, verse 13, also that everyone should eat, drink, and take pleasure in his toil. This is God's gift. So number one, rejoice. Number two, do good. Number three, enjoy the blessings of everyday life. And number four, lastly, look at verse 14. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people fear before Him. As we understand that God's work is seen in every phase, it's for all of us, it's beautiful, God's never late, ultimately it's only clear to God. We ask the question, how do we self-govern in light of that? Listen, rejoice, do good, enjoy the blessings of everyday life. And lastly, verse 14, rest in the wisdom and sovereign plan of God. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. David, God bless you as you lead this dear congregation. Thank you all. Amen.
That was great. I'm still writing stuff down. So, what am I doing? I've got to give a charge to the congregation. You know, here, my name is Les Lofquist, and I'm Executive Director of IFCA International. I've been here on several occasions in the past, different times in the church's history. I can remember hearing about your church way back when I was a student at the Grand Rapids School of Bible and Music, and that's where I started my education, and heard about the church. I can remember men like Don Tack, Don Phillips. I remember Bill Brew served as an interim at times. I remember Pastor Bill Dobson. I remember Pastor Sluice, Pastor Stockland. So I've been here a lot of different times in your church's history at different times. So it's been a blessing for me to see what God has accomplished through His Word and here. So I appreciate the fact that Pastor Dave, you were able to bring in such a wonderful friend. And I hope that that you were blessed. I certainly was. And I hope that the rest of you as a congregation recognize that I'm here as a friend as well. And I'm here to talk to you and to provide a charge to the congregation. I'd like you to open your Bibles up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in this portion of Scripture, we see Paul talking about the relationship between those who labor among you and are over you and admonish you. You see that in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. It says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for your works, for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." We see here these relationships between the one who is over you and labors among you and admonishes you, and then you as a congregation. So I'm going to emphasize the congregation at this point. And four commands. I'll see four commands for you, the congregation, here in this chapter. First off, it says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize." Recognize. The idea behind that word is to mentally understand. To recognize in the sense that you understand His ministry role. You recognize Him. You recognize Pastor Dietz, and you say, "Well, what is his role? What is he to be here in our congregation?" It says it right there in verse 12. It says, "Recognize those who labor among you." Pastor Dave is going to be working hard. I already know, because Pastor Joel will make sure of that, won't you? And we've seen a little bit of him in action, and so we know with friends like this. We know this is going to be a hardworking man. And also, by the way, Kimberly, I I was really blessed. I'm just sitting here. I didn't know what you were doing. I'm right behind you. And the prayer came and she moved real quick. And I said, oh, she must be doing something. And then she got at the piano and played such a beautiful, beautiful offertory. That's hard work. She's going to be working hard, maintaining her musical proficiency. Pastor Dave is going to be working hard in the ministry. And it is hard work. That's what it says here. It's exhaustion, even, is the idea behind that word. And also, Pastor Dave, we need to, as a congregation, understand, mentally comprehend. He's going to work hard. And also, it says here, he'll be over you in the sense that he'll provide spiritual oversight as a pastoral leader here in the congregation. So labor among you, over you, admonish you. There's such an important part, instructing in the truths of God's Word. That's what he's going to be doing. But that's his role. Verse 12, I'm emphasizing your role in this process. It says here, recognize him. That is, mentally understand. Think things through as his role and what his relationship is. And so you're to understand him, what his job is, but also understand him as a person. Understand his strengths. Understand his weaknesses. Understand his personal needs. Understand his family. You're to understand him. So this is an important role that you as a congregation have. First off, understand him. Secondly, it says, esteem them. Esteem them very highly in love. The second one is to value him. Value him. So you're to mentally understand, but also emotionally value. In fact, it says here, esteem them very highly in love. The idea is that you are to show love for your pastor. And it says specifically, not just because you like him, although I hope you do. It's not that. It's that you are to esteem him very highly, it says here, for their work's sake. Because of the work that he is doing. The work that we've already said is he's working hard and he's doing spiritual oversight and admonishing you. Esteem him very highly in love for his work's sake. And pastors can be misunderstood. They can be underappreciated. They can labor with unrealistic expectations. If you are here in the Sunday school hour, you know when you saw that wonderful lesson on the ministry of Elijah. If you were not here, was that recorded? Sunday school recorded? Yes? Okay, get a copy of that tape. That was really good. Because you can understand the work of a servant of God and the pressures that he has, but especially the idea of unrealistic expectations that he had and how that affected him in his role Elijah had. We can see this in the workers that God has in his ministry. We saw it in Elijah, and you also need with Pastor Dave to value him for his work's sake and for what he's doing. So understand him, value him. And remember in Ephesians 4, it says that Christ gave gifts to the church. And one of those gifts is the pastor teacher. And so Pastor Dietz is a gift from Jesus Christ, the ascended Lord, to you as a congregation. Receive him as a gift in gratitude and thanking the Lord for what he has given to you as a congregation. So you understand him, you value him, and then thirdly, it says in verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. Satan desires warfare. Satan desires division. There's an enemy outside. And then each one of us, we have our flesh, which desires our own way. And we want to do things our way. And there are times in congregational life where we need to seek the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's from Ephesians 4. So this enemy outside, he wants to destroy Whitney Bible Church. And then enemy within. We want our own way. And we note that injunction that David gave in Psalm 133, verse 1. In Hebrew, it's Hine matov u'namani kevet akim gam yachad. And the idea there is that Hine Matov, behold how good. Tov is the Hebrew word. It's good in the sense that it's what God wants. It's His prescribed will. It's proper for brothers to dwell together in unity. So it's good. Behold how good and pleasant. The Hebrew word there is used elsewhere in the Old Testament. Things like how beautiful and pleasant it is for friends to be together. Baked bread, the idea, it's pleasant. And so it's not only right for brothers to dwell together in unity, but it's pleasant, isn't it? It's a joy. And so it's a great delight. And so the church at peace is very beautiful. I love, today when I drove up, I think your building is one of my favorite ones. I love to come here. When you turn down Whitneyville, I live in Byron Center. My wife Miriam and I came. We came straight east on 84th, and then we came all the way to Whitneyville Avenue, turned right, went by the old building, and then on the right-hand side, all of a sudden, opens up the beautiful, the kind of woods opened up, and there's the building on the right. There it is. Whitneyville Bible Church, and I love it because it is such a beautiful setting. It's such a beautiful place, and so the kind of a setting that you're in is so beautiful. And when God's people get along, it is a great joy. And so the third command is be at peace. Be at peace. Understand and value Him. Be at peace. And then also take a look. I'm jumping now down to verse 25, the fourth command. Verse 25, the fourth command, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. This is, it's so interesting that prayer is the only thing that Paul asked of congregations for himself. He didn't ask for money. Oh, they sent him money, and he thanked them for it. But he didn't say, we don't see him putting out appeal letters like so popular here in our culture. You know, we get appeal letters, especially year-end giving, because they know that you get a social IRS tax write-off. And so with a tax write-off, end-of-the-year giving, they appeal to you, please give. Please give to us. And Paul doesn't do that. He doesn't send out those kind of appeals. What he does say, brethren, pray for us. I know Pastor Dave would ask you, please pray for him. Please pray for him. And pray for him. Because we've got other places where Paul asks for prayer. Romans 15, verse 30 through 32. Pray for deliverance from unbelieving opponents or enemies. Pray for those who are going to oppose his ministry. Pray for acceptable service. Pray for mutual encouragement. In Ephesians 6:19, he says, Paul says, pray for me that I'll be bold. In Colossians 4:3, he prays that, to ask him to pray for an open door for ministry. In 2 Thessalonians 3:1, he says, pray that the word of God will run swiftly and will be honored when I preach it. So pray for his preaching, that the word of God will be honored. And also in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, pray for him to have safety and protection and health. Pray for those things. In 1 Timothy 2:2, he says, Paul is talking to Timothy, and then he says to pray, remember to pray for kings and all those in authority. I think he's also talking about men like Pastor Dave. And he says specifically for a godly life. So pray for Pastor Dave to be a godly man, a man of God. And then if you think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, I kind of do, but if you think he wrote the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 18, he says that pray that the leaders will have honorable testimony. Honorable testimony. Pray that when the community out here on this side of the Grand Rapids metro area, that when they think of Whitneyville Bible and they think about Pastor Dave Dietz, they'll say, that man is a good testimony. Pray for him to have that. So pray for him to be delivered from enemies and to have acceptable service and to have mutual encouragement with you and to have boldness, open door for his ministry, the word would be honored when he preaches, that he'd have safety and protection and health, that he'd have godly life, and that he maintain an honorable testimony. And then when you pray for him, Pray for his wife as well, because if Satan can't get him, Satan's going after Kimberly. And so pray for her the same way. And if Satan can't get, because they're doing well, if you can't get Pastor Dave and Kimberly, pray for the kids as well. Because if Satan can't get the dad or the mom, he's going to go after the kids. So remember to pray for your pastor and his family. So understand him. Understand what his work is. Understand now what it is that he's supposed to do. And then secondly, value him emotionally. Value him. And third, be at peace among yourselves. And then fourth, pray. Pray for him. Pray for this ministry. I am so thankful for the work that God has done at Whitneyville Bible Church for all these years. And I really think after talking to your pastor and meeting him here today, seeing his wife, seeing his friends, the kind of people that surround him in his life, I have every reason to believe that he's going to have a great ministry here. And I'm so thankful for your church. I'm thankful for you as a congregation that God has been doing these great things. I think he's going to do great things into the future through your pastor. And so that's how I'm going to be praying for Whitneyville Bible Church. God bless you.
Yeah, my name is Paul Deal. I was the former director of Independent Bible Mission for 20-some years here in Michigan. And then after retiring, I'm currently a volunteer with the IFCA, and I assist in pastoral placement. And that's a tremendous privilege and responsibility. I'm just so grateful to be able to share these thoughts, these words from the book of Numbers. I'm not going to preach. I just want to share these two verses because I shared them at the beginning of the meeting we had with the search committee back on February 11th. I couldn't believe it was that long ago, but February 11th, we were here and started that meeting with these two verses from the book of Numbers. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. You are not sheep which have no shepherd. God has given you a shepherd that is now with you, and what a joy that is. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for all of us, all right? I'm not just the dedicator or anything like that. I just want us to all agree that we're going to commit this brother and his wife and family to the Lord. And I'm going to ask if they would come to the front. And perhaps if you would try to get on this side of the communion table. And then I'd like all of the congregation, if you would come and gather as close to them as you can. Come and sort of fill in the center aisle and the other side aisles and so on. Okay. Sorry to get away.
Yes, thank you. I think that this is important for you all to be a part of this special time of dedicating them to the Lord. We know that some of you may not be able to come, and that's okay. Join us in spirit as we together dedicate them to this ministry. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Loving Father, we thank you for your answer that is visible for each of us today. We thank you for the details that you have taken care of in the calling and then in the response of that call by the Dietz family as they have arrived here in this Caledonia community. Our God, we thank you for the detail of homes, of selling a home in Colorado at just the right time, and then providing a home here at just the right time. We can see, O God, the way in which you have brought this family to this people. And as a people, as a congregation, we thank you for what you have done And now, O God, we pray that we, as individual members and friends, may we dedicate ourselves to praying for them, dedicate ourselves to responding to their ministry, and most of all, O God, may we encourage them by our faithfulness to them and to their ministry and in attendance in the services and in faithful witness to those who are in the community. Oh God, we thank you for the joy of being able to say to our neighbors, come and meet our new pastor. And as people do, we pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit would truly cause the results of meeting this family and of hearing your word proclaimed clearly, that they would come to know you and come to be a part of this congregation. We do, oh God, today present this family and this congregation to you, and we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made all of this possible, and we desire, oh God, that he would be glorified, not only today, but in the future of this ministry. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, as most of you know, I'm T.J. Cooley. I'm currently serving as chairman of the elders, and it's my privilege to give the response from the church to the charge that Dr. Lofquist has given to us. And again, those points were we have to recognize or mentally understand Pastor Dietz and this family, and we will do that the best we can. Of course, he's coming from a different culture and different age than what some of us are, so it might be a little bit more challenged, but we're going to do our best to do that. We're going to esteem him very highly. We're going to value him. We are going to be at peace the best we can, and we are also going to commit to pray for him and his family. But it's something that we must recognize is that we are fallible, sinful people, and we can't do this perfectly. We can only do this in God's strength. So join with me in going to him for this. Heavenly Father, we are imperfect, infallible people. And often in the beginning times, there's such an emotion, such a joy that we have that we commit to these things and wholeheartedly want to do those. But yet, at the same time, we know that as time goes on, we also will be attacked by Satan. We will start looking to some of our own interest and take our eyes off Jesus Christ in the work that he has for us. And so, Lord, I would just pray that you would always keep in our minds these charges, that we are to understand him, to value him, to be at peace, and to pray. And that we would not only commit now, but over and over again, Lord, as we stray from these things, that you would keep us close to these so that we would be sheep who love our shepherd, who is our person, the person that will feed us, that will care for us, that will demonstrate Christ to us, and that we would also return that love and affection and that the joy that we have for him, that this would not be an arduous task, but it would be something that he would find joy in. So, Lord, we thank you for this privilege, and we just ask that you will bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tell Pastor Steiner if I don't accept, this is not official, apparently. So I need to accept it. And now that I have, I can tell a joke. I learned last night that I could not tell jokes until I had been officially installed. So, no, that's... So now I'm official, I think. But what a humbling, overwhelming experience this is for us. As an assistant pastor and as an associate pastor for the last 14 years, 12 years, whatever it's been, I used to tell the senior pastors that I worked for that, here's all the things that they needed to do, here's how they could run. If they just did what I said as the assistant, it would all run better. And I told them, I told both of the men that I've worked for, I said, I know what's going to happen is the first week I'm on the job as a senior pastor, they're going to call me and say, Dave, tell us, how is it working out for you? Do you have all the answers? And I'm finding abundantly clear that I don't have all the answers. But I am so thankful that we have a God who does. This truly is a very overwhelming and humbling experience, and it is our privilege. It really is. There's no way to probably communicate what has gone on in Kimberly and I's heart for the last year or so as God has worked in our hearts to bring us to this point. God truly is sovereign. People ask, how did a guy from Denver, Colorado area make it out to the Grand Rapids area of Michigan? The only thing I can say is God brought us here, but brought us here joyfully and gratefully. And we are thrilled and excited about what God has for us as a family, what God has for us as a church. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, I think these are great verses. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." That's where our hope is found. To him, Jesus Christ, God, who is able to do far more than we could ever ask or think. There is a ton of potential at Whitneyville Bible Church. There really is. Not because we have talented people. We do. Not because you've got a young pastor. I think, generally young. We have a great God. And his all-sufficient, all-powerful character works within us as insufficient, incompetent human beings to accomplish his work. And that's what Paul says, to him be glory in the church. If good things happen at Whitneyville Bible Church, it is all to the glory and the honor of God. Nothing to me, and honestly nothing to you, but it's people that allow God to work in and through us. My prayer, my hope, my encouragement is that we all would strive to be vessels that God can use, who he can filter through and work through to do something amazing at this place. My prayer has been, God, would you show your power to this community, that our God is not dead. Our God is just as alive today, and even as Joel talked about this morning in Sunday school with Elijah, he is that same God. And that's who we serve. That's who is still in control. And we look to him to say it's all about him. He is the one, as much as we can think. And in my mind, I look at this church and I think, boy, here's kind of what I think it could be. And then you come to a verse like this and Paul says, to him who can do far more abundantly. Like he sees it and then he says, I'll show you what else I could do that you couldn't even envision. And that's what we have to do as a church, to say, you know what, it's all about him. And he is the one fully capable of making this place an amazing testimony in our community, an amazing testimony for our world, to be able to say, look at what God has done through these people at Whitneyville Bible Church. This church has been through a lot. I understand that. But this church still is existent because of a great God. And this church has good days ahead because of a great God. And that's where our confidence lies. Thank you so much for that privilege to be able to be your pastor. Humbling beyond even now what I could have envisioned and imagined. But I am so thankful that I do it in the strength and the power of an almighty God, and that you do it in the strength and the power of an almighty God. Thank you so much for this privilege. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you, Joel, for the challenge. Thank you, Les, for the challenge as well. I appreciate it. And I know that together, God has great things in store for us if we keep our focus and attention on him.
This morning we've heard three different charges. We've been encouraged to do our part. We've been encouraged because of what God has done. I think that we have to agree with what the psalmist says, the Lord hath done great things for us, wherewith we are glad. This is a day of rejoicing, folks. From the chapter of Hebrews 13, at the end it says, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, as we've heard these words spoken today, as we've accepted challenges, Lord, I pray that from this point forward that we would be found faithful. Lord, that's the part that we trust you for. We trust you for the help, the strength. We know that you'll always be faithful. We'd ask that
we would accept these challenges personally. Lord, we would not look around and be discouraged by the things or the events or the people that are around us, but be encouraged because you've crossed our paths with these events. Lord, as the theme and the purpose and the challenges for this church have not changed, a new chapter is being written. I pray that above all, your blessing would bring glory and honor to your name here. I pray that you would give each one of us the strength and the heart to do our part. And now we thank you for all these words, your faithfulness, and the strength that you're going to give us in these days ahead. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.